Right, good evening.
Good evening.
Open our Bibles to the book of Colossians again. Colossians, please. Between the different brethren looking at Colossians, this is probably about the ninth message on chapter 1, to my recollection, and my intention is to finish up chapter 1. And let's note beginning at verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24 to 29. As we have been in this book, we are reminded that Colossians tells us about how Christ is preeminent. Christ is the head of the church. With the twin epistle, we've been calling it Ephesians, talks about how that the church, the body of Christ, is subject to the head. So you see the head and the body both spoken about in Colossians and Ephesians. A lot of the same terminology, a lot of the same content is dealt with in both books. And we notice the beginning of the chapter that there was the attitude of thanksgiving and prayer Paul had for the saints there at Colossae, as he would display in all of the, or many of the epistles he would write to different groups of believers. And then as we move to the middle of the text, it was addressed in verses 15 to 18, we see the different aspects of Christ being preeminent, things that show him in his person and his work, as we see the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the fact that Christ is the creator of all things, he is eternal before all things, he sustains all things, he's the head of the church, and he's the leader from the dead, the leader of resurrection. And then in verse 19, there was one message there, looking at that very key verse, that it pleased the Father that in him, that is Christ, should all fullness dwell. And we considered how the full essence of God is in the Lord Jesus. And we did a bit of a breaking down to some word studies in verse 19. We talked about what things has pleased the Father about his Son. And we talked about what it means that fullness dwells in Christ, and also how the Lord desires us to have a fullness of spiritual growth. And then the brethren moved on in verses 20 to 23, looking at the subject of reconciliation, peace and reconciliation. This one, the Lord Jesus, who's the head of the church, is the one by whom we have been made right with God. We have peace with God. We've been reconciled. We that were enemies, at odds with God, now we have been reconciled and brought into his family. So we'll pick up after that tonight at verse 24. One thing that I'd like to note to you is in verse 23, it talks about, as Paul would talk about the gospel, particularly peace and reconciliation, he would say that I, Paul, am a minister of the gospel, a servant of the gospel. He said this is an area that God has put to my account that I'm responsible, as he was the last of the apostles, to display, to teach, and promote the gospel. He was a minister of the gospel. Well, the verses we look at tonight, he's going to say also, the Lord has called me to be a minister of the church. And so when we look at these last two sections of Colossians, we see these two areas that Paul was called to teach and promote and to encourage the saints in. That is in the gospel and concerning the church. And when you go through the epistles, you go from actually in the early parts of Acts where the church began, and when they were already preaching the gospel from that same point on, talking about the risen Christ, we see through there and throughout all of these epistles, we see those two things, not just the Pauline epistles, all the epistles, the two main themes being the church and the gospel. And these things are both interwoven together, and as believers today, those are, in one sense, two of the main things that we need to spend our time and energy in, spreading the gospel and holding to the truth of the church. And as we see here, these are the things that Paul expresses in at the end of this chapter that the Lord had called him to teach and encourage. So let's read beginning at verse 24, Colossians 1, 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So as we have this topic of the church before us and related issues, Paul begins by pointing out who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. This one, Paul, suffered quite a tremendous amount for the saints, for those that he had given the gospel to, those that had received the gospel. He had poured himself out in the work of the Lord. He, when he was about to see the Lord, you might remember in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's just turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And just to kind of think on that terminology a little bit. 2 Timothy 4. And let's note there in verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am now ready to be offered or to be poured out, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So he talks about a certain crown, a reward for those that love his appearing, a crown of righteousness. And so he mentions how he had, as he had been pouring himself out, he had been giving himself for the work of the Lord. He was ready to be poured out in that, in the sense of his life is about over here on earth, ready to go be with the Lord. But it's reflective of how he had been pouring himself out, been putting himself into the saints and into the work of the Lord. So we go back to Colossians 1, and here is this one, Paul, addressing these believers that he had heard about their faith, as he said earlier in the chapter. He had heard about their faith. He'd been praying for them. And so now he's talking about rejoicing in his sufferings for you. You know, think about that, that to be willing to suffer for the things of Christ for other people's benefit, for the fact that by pouring himself out, people heard the gospel. By pouring himself out, people were built up in the faith. Time-wise, I really probably ought to move on, but I'll just kind of throw this out as kind of a side thing to chew on. But one of my kids and I was talking about just things in general about the work of the Lord this week. And I knew I was already supposed to be in this passage anyway. And I was just thinking about these things, about how there's different aspects of how the people of God, as 2 Corinthians calls it, workers together. We have different gifts, we have different abilities the Lord's given us. Yet we're working together, and our attitude should be to pour ourselves out, even if it means to the point of suffering, for the work of the Lord. We're not likely to suffer, at least thus far, in this country like Paul did. In a moment we can read some verses that remind us of his suffering. We generally don't have physical suffering. We might have some verbal abuse given to us. We hear about people that have physical abuse and suffering for Christ's sake, so it can happen in this country, but maybe not as to the same degree as in other countries thus far, and not like Paul suffered, generally speaking. So with that, let's just stay in the context for now. We see in verse 24 that he goes on to say, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. To add to what is lacking. Paul is saying, I'm willing to suffer for you. I'm willing to pour my life out for the things of the Lord. I'm willing to spread the gospel. I'm willing to give out the truth of the church and to help these meetings start, help these meetings, you know, like sometimes some of us have had opportunity to see meetings almost like restart. I was talking again when we had a discussion with one of my kids. You know, there's like three meetings.